This is Mike Levine. These are stories I covered today. Today I was eyewitness to a miracle. A miracle. A woman brought back from the brink of death due to the fast, efficient work of two policemen. Now we'll hear it exactly as it happened in just a minute. But first, let's check into this morning's inquest into the death of Peter White, Air Force Staff Sergeant Peter White of New London, Connecticut. Sergeant White, when it was 10 degrees below zero last January 28th, was run down as he tried to fix his car by the side of Route 22 in Monroeville. His wife, sitting in the car, watched in horror as a white Chevrolet ran down her husband, hurled his body off to the side of the road, and then drove off, leaving the scene. Well, today the coroner's jury investigated at an inquest into that death, and they investigated while the former tax collector of Monroeville Borough listened to the evidence pile up against him. And at the end of the inquest, Coroner Joseph Dobbs summarized highlights of that evidence to the jury in this forthright statement.
The eyewitness that we heard on the stand here definitely identified the operator of this white Chevy as Mr. Andrew Law Cumming. It also has been testified that the car, through chemicals tested by the lab, proves that Mr. Peter G. White was struck by this car, driven by Mr. Andrew Law Cumming. Also from testimony, it's indicated that it was a hit-and-run car. Therefore, in my opinion, it would appear that this gentleman, Andrew Law Cumming, should be held to await the action of grand jury upon a charge of manslaughter indicating hit-and-run. If there is any other charge that you would like to recommend to the grand jury, that, of course, will be at your discretion.
And with that, the jury deliberated in a side room, returned after about 10 or 15 minutes, handed the verdict papers to Coroner Dobbs, and he read them to the courtroom.
The coroner's jury renders a verdict in the death of Peter G. White and recommends that Andrew Law Cumming be held to wait the action of grand jury upon a charge of involuntary manslaughter.
And the next development in this story comes when it goes before the criminal court grand jury. Our next little story might well turn out to be a sneak preview of disaster. Countless thousands of people in the tri-state district this night are watching the snow melt. In the next couple of days, they'll be watching the rain, and watching the warm weather, and watching with apprehension. Because it's this combination, this very combination of rain and warm weather that our friend, river forecaster Vernon Helton, says could cause trouble. Floods. Now, it's not a new word around here by any means, that word, flood. As a matter of fact, a cluster of half a dozen homes and business firms in the Overbrook section of Pittsburgh got a sneak preview today when Sawmill Run spilled over its banks. It wasn't much as floods go, but for the people who live along Provost Road at its intersection with Route 51, it was the real McCoy. We spoke about this flood to George Theobald, one of the people who lives out in that neighborhood.
Mr. Theobald, how often do you get floods like this in front of your house?
Well, if they would clean the bridge, we wouldn't get any. But nobody does anything.
But you keep getting them over and over again, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Flash flood, it comes way up there to that tree sometimes.
Right up to your front door?
Almost.
What happens inside the house? Your cellar's below ground level. Do you ever get any of this water in your basement?
Not very often. Once in a while you do, but not very often.
Mr. Theobald, I detect rather unpleasant odor. This is not just plain snow water.
No, there's sewage water. The sewer runs over up there. They're above the beer distributor.
An open sewer?
Yep.
And this stuff, you say, comes washing through your front yard frequently?
Oh, when we get a flash flood.
Boy, that's awful.
Oh, down here at Overbrook, they got to close the windows in the school.
Have you ever complained about it?
Oh, they was everybody. One blames it on the city, and the city will blame it on the county, and county will blame it on the state, the state will blame it on the fort and the waters. Nobody does nothing.
But right now, the problem that's spilling sun will run over its banks is this stuffed up...
They don't clean down in the bridge.
There's a little bridge there, and the creek that flows beneath it jams it with debris.
That's right.
How often does it plug up with debris?
Well, every time we get a flash flood, it goes down this road.
Instead of through the sewer?
That's right.
Situation stinks, doesn't it?
Oh, you can't sit on a porch sometimes in the summer.
It's a smelly situation in more way than one.
That's right.
I think Mr. Theobald will join us in our wish that nobody else gets hit by high waters in the next few days. As we know here in Pittsburgh, these floods are no joke. And now here's the thriller, a very unusual story, captured in sound on the KDKA tape recorder. The story happened when Mr. Nick Petrarca came home from work this afternoon, home to his house on Pierce Street in the Shadyside section of Pittsburgh.
Mr. Petrarca, what happened when you came home from work?
I couldn't get in.
Couldn't get in the house at all?
No, my daughter comes out and she opened the window to the front window.
In the cellar?
In the front room. And she goes out and opens the door for me in the living room. And we come downstairs, both of us. We find my wife down on the floor in the basement.
In the powder room in the basement?
Yeah.
Unconscious?
Unconscious.
Okay, you called the police right away?
Yeah, my daughter did. She called the police, and the police came down in about 15 minutes.
They worked on your wife for a long time. They used...
Okay, about half an hour.
Do you know how close she was to being dead?
Pretty close.
You're a lucky fella.
Yeah, thank you. Thank God.
Did you learn any lesson that you can tell somebody else?
Yeah, I will.
What did you learn? What about this gas?
That's no good. That's no good. That gas is no good. The guy who owns this house, he ought to be put in jail. Because I told him last year, with this, he put gas furnishing in the house, he wouldn't do it.
Do you have a vent on that gas stove in the basement?
No, I haven't.
No flue?
No flue.
No furnace, unvented gas heaters, no flue, and as Mrs. Petrarca proved this afternoon, plenty of carbon monoxide. And now, listen carefully, for you're about to hear a tape recording of a woman brought back from the brink of death. It happened when two very skillful, very diligent policemen did their duty. They're patrolman Leo Marchetti and James Moon. They used up two tanks of oxygen in their effort to revive Mrs. Petrarca. Those two policemen fought a long fight, a hard fight, and they won. And I was lucky enough to have the tape recorder handy and on the go, just as Mrs. Petrarca came around. And you'll hear her as she comes back to life.
You awake now, Ann? Are you awake? Say something. Are you okay now?
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
What's your name?
You know where you are?
Take a deep breath, Ann.
Get that oxygen in you. That's it.
Hey, Anna. Hey, did you go to work today?
Oh.
You go to work today? Say something, Anna.
Oh, I was supposed to go to work.
Supposed to go to work? Are you sleeping?
What are you doing down here, Anna? What are you doing in a cellar?
Huh?
What are you doing in a cellar?
I was in a bed.
You what?
Where am I?
That hissing sound is the oxygen.
Feel all right now? Huh? What time did you come down the stairs?
I don't know.
Don't you remember? Were you home all day? You don't remember what time you came down the stairs?
What made you go to sleep on the floor?
I don't know.
Did you pass out? Do you know how long you've been out?
What was the last thing you did before you come downstairs? What time is it, Anna?
I don't know.
About what time is it?
I don't know.
Guess.
These policemen want you to talk to them so they'll keep you awake. Now, you keep your eyes open and talk to these men.
What day is it, Anna? Did you eat lunch?
No.
You didn't eat lunch today. What time did you get up? What day is it?
My daughter went to school, I think I got up.
This morning or at noon?
But... 7 o'clock, I think.
Did she come home for lunch?
No.
No? And that's the last you remember?
Where's your husband? Who is this fellow right here? Right here. Huh?
Must be late if he's home.
What time's he come home?
About 4 o'clock.
What day is this? What day of the week is it?
Thursday.
Thursday? What month is it?
Pretty close.
February. That's right. February what? What day?
Oh, I don't know.
You got to take her to the hospital.
Yeah,
I think
we
better take her. We'll get her checked over anyway.
Hey, Anna. How do you like being alive? Do you like to be alive?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it good? Can you smile a little bit? Good to have you with us.
Yes, it's good to have her with us. And as Mr. Petrarca pointed out, John, this is the second time this has happened. The second time in that house, to that gas heater, to the same poor woman. And knowing what you and I both know about the fire department and their attitude toward unvented gas heaters, I would say that somebody's in real trouble. Oh, yes, speaking of the fire department, John, as you know, both you and I were honored by Fire Chief Steve Adley and the men of his fire department today. John, for our listeners' benefit, was sworn in as an honorary fire chief for his work as a substitute, part-time, temporary replacement fireman on John's Other Life. And for some reason, maybe because I've been thrilling to the work of the Pittsburgh firemen for so many years, they made me an honorary battalion chief, complete with gold badge and everything. It was a lot of fun, but a real honor, and a real pleasure to have all this happen while we were visited by that great RCA recording artist, Arthur Fiedler. He's the conductor of the Boston Pops Orchestra, and I've admired him for a long time, too. But I would urge our listeners to hear John talk to Fire Chief Adley and Dr. Fiedler a little later on in program PM. But for myself, many thanks to Fire Chief Steve Adley and the fellows who fight our fires, protect our homes, save our lives right here in Pittsburgh.